The power three will remake thee. The power three will reboot thee. The power three will revive thee.
Does that mean there's going to be a third Charmed?
Possibly.
Is it possibly?
In 20 years.
Or a Netflix special next year.
Oh, with actually.
The OG. Original cast.
That's mm-hmm. true. I forgot about that. I guess we'll be talking about that too. Because we today, will. What are we talking about?
Charmed.
Charmed. So, yeah. So, today we're talking about the CW's and the WB's Charmed.
Mm-hmm.
One version starring three white girls. This one, the most recent one, starring Latinas.
Yes.
And I guess we're going to figure out how we feel about this.
I hope we do.
I'm Rolando.
And I'm Nicole.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast about unoriginality. Alrighty, guys, welcome. We took kind of a break last week with our mini-sode. We talked about Harry Potter. I hope you enjoyed that. But now Rolando is back from his bachelor party and his crazy work week. Mm-hmm. And we're discussing a different band of wizards, witches, witchcraftery.
Warlocks. They don't have wizards.
Whatever.
Oh, they do.
Different types of magic.
There's wizards in Charmed?
Yeah, I mean, there are people with that name. They use that title, wizards.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Just a bunch of supernatural stuff.
Supernatural.
Yeah, this week we're discussing Charmed. So with us, as always, is our producer, who keeps us in check and all that, Eddie Z, who also is a big fan of Charmed.
I love that show.
Is it one of your favorites?
It's one of my favorites. One of my cult classic favorites.
That's awesome. So you grew up watching this?
Yes.
Okay.
Big fan of Sharon Doherty. So I've actually watched everything that Sharon Doherty has been in.
Oh, wow.
So
including the new 90210.
I haven't caught that yet.
Wait, was she in it?
Yeah, she was in it.
Oh, good for her.
But yeah. I recently had the pleasure to, spoilers alert, but to see her on the first episode of this season of Riverdale.
Because Luke Perry passed away, obviously, right? And he played the Archie's father in the show. So I thought it was a nice little honor to kind of bring her for the episode where his character dies.
Saving hers.
She kind of gives a prayer. It was a kind of a bittersweet moment. You didn't actually catch it. We were watching together and we're like, oh, that's kind of so sweet because of 90210. And Eddie's at that moment it snapped and just like, oh my God, that's why.
Yeah. So yeah, big fan of Sharon Doherty.
Cool. And what about you, Ro? Did you watch the show?
Okay. So I only really saw when the show was coming out. I only saw the first two seasons, really.
Yeah.
I caught the first two seasons. By season three, Phoebe is involved in this relationship with the demon Cole. And I kind of started dipping out there anyway. And then I think I remember watching the season finale because I think they were announcing that one sister will die. And I wasn't aware of the behind the scenes drama that was going on. So we would come to learn that Shannon Doherty was off the show because she was feuding with Alyssa Milano. And I think I'm getting ahead of myself.
You are, definitely. But at the same time, even if you've never watched Charmed, you know the drama there. So that's a big thing about that show.
Yeah.
Never watched it. I wasn't really a WB girl. My sister was a big Buffy fan, but that's about all that we watched on WB.
Really?
By 11, my favorite movie was Sunset Boulevard. So I was already watching movie musicals and stuff the MGM era.
Yeah, I was a big WB. I was their target demo.
Yeah. I think you still are.
You know what? The fact that I'm watching Archie is proof that I do still watch it. Plus, you know. It's so interesting. I think the WB has kind of found WB, now CW, but they've always had this interesting demo of doing kind of trash TV for not tweens, but slightly teens, I guess, teen drama, Gossip Girl, Dawson's Creek, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. This is all for more youthful audiences.
For sure.
And yet somehow they also end up garnering an adult audience at the same time.
Okay.
And Charmed, I think, for sure, I think it was skewed more adult than teen because you had older actresses and they were kind of going through adult problems, unlike Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where Sarah Michelle Gellar's Buffy was going through high school drama.
Very true. Even though I would say that there was definitely a switch in the demographics, I think, maybe, or in what the show was focusing on. Throughout its 8 seasons that it was on. It was on for a long time.
Yeah, it's crazy that the show lasted 8 seasons, considering Shannon Doherty was kicked out
pretty early.
At the end of season 3.
Yeah.
And I mean, originally the show was supposed to be her big comeback. Like, even a comeback, but like, you know, she was off of 90210 mm-hmm. again because of internal fighting that she was having with other cast members, Jenny Garth.
Yeah.
And I think Tori Spelling. And as a result, like, she needed a new vehicle to kind of like keep propelling her star power.
Mm-hmm.
And Charmed was supposed to be this one. However, Alyssa Milano, that sneaky little bitch. I'm kidding, guys.
What?
I like Alyssa Milano.
Definitely.
No, but Alyssa Milano, like, she ended up becoming the major star. And it kind of rubbed Shannen Doherty the wrong way. And, you know, Alyssa Milano started getting...
Egos. Now, healthy egos, man.
I mean, I think... So, obviously, I had to rewatch the show. Mm-hmm. I didn't appreciate the show as much as I do now. Uh-huh. Because rewatching the show was just like, shit. Shannen Doherty was really good in this show.
She was. So, okay. So, obviously, we're talking about Charmed. Before we get into a little bit of history, when the show came out, let's talk about 1998. Do you remember 1998?
What season of Buffy was it?
So, yeah. So, we're season two of Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
I think what else is Felicity, I think, is a thing on the WB.
I think actually this might be the first season
the
of Felicity.
The first season. Well, you know what else came out that year? It was Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek, which had another great theme song.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait for my heart to be whole.
Also, That 70s Show debuted. And yeah. Will and Grace, which we covered in an episode called Do Gays Need a Fag Hag? Well, enough rolling down memory lane. This was 21 years ago. And that is when Charmed debuted on the WB. So this show was created by a woman named Constance M. Burge. I think she created another show that didn't do that well called Savannah.
Oh, I loved Savannah too.
Yeah, you love Savannah?
I did. That show was...
It had like the line, and it's probably one of those things get misquoted, but uh-huh. It's like my coworkers do it all the time. She goes, there was a line in the show that was like, "You're like my sister." And it's just like that line always kind of blew up for some reason.
That show was so terrible. I was really young when this show came out, but I remember the reason I used to watch it was because it was like pretty scandalous, like lots of sex going on in that show.
And
I was like a little, you know, preteen child, just like, ooh, this is so hot and sexy.
Yeah.
As a preteen child.
Well, so in 1988, the WB, they were really looking for a new drama series. You know, they wanted something that was kind of like more interesting than another program on their channel called The Seventh Heaven, if we remember that show.
I do. Damn, man. I was a CW stan. Yeah. WB stan, I guess.
For sure. They wanted something a little bit more risky, so they had Spelling Television of Aaron Spelling, mm-hmm. 90210 fame.
Tori Spelling's
Tori
father.
Tori Spelling's papa. And they also wanted to kind of benefit from the success of things like The Craft that mm-hmm. came out 2 years earlier and Practical Magic that came out in 1998. So it was also, oh, wow. You know, they might be doing a thing that we're going to have to cover Practical Magic.
Oh, I can't wait to rip apart that movie. Wait, Practical Magic is one with Sandra Bullock
and Nicole Kidman. Yeah. So, okay, so definitely they were trying to go into this popularity now of like witches uh-huh. in our culture.
And
so
this is season two of Buffy. I mean, they're season also going two. With the supernatural.
Yeah, WB had a lot of like momentum at this moment. So it came at a really good time. Yeah. And this is kind of like what solidified, I think, the WB. These kind of years with these shows, Buffy, Charmed, and
eventually Roswell.
Dawson's Creek. Roswell is the next year in 1999.
Roswell and another great theme song, Dido. Yes.
But an interesting thing, though, is, I mean, like those three shows portray strong women leading the cast.
They did.
You know,
not Dawson's Creek.
They wanted a show. Charmed.
Charmed. Roswell. Buffy.
There were more women.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. But they also wanted to develop a show that would focus on more family values, you know, and like it was more about a show, not just three witches, but three sisters. This mm-hmm. was really important to the development of the show. And this is something that they wanted young women to watch and get a sense of, is sisterhood
right.
and family bonds.
So when it did debut, it was the highest rated debut for the network at 7.7 million.
Oh,
wow.
Look at that.
That's
yeah.
actually big numbers for
that
the WB.
Is. Yeah.
Because it's not, the WB was... That's the interesting thing about it. That's why it's not part of the big like three networks, because it's not available in all markets.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So they came up with the story of the Halliwell sisters.
Halliwell.
And there's three of them, Prue, Piper, and Phoebe.
Mm-hmm. And in that order, oldest.
In that youngest. Order. The oldest was played by Shannon Doherty, which was her big comeback, as we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The middle,
which
was,
is so interesting that she would work with Aaron Spelling again.
Well, I mean, she had the biggest success of her career with him. Why not?
Well, only for a couple of years before, again, she got booted.
I remember reading.
She got the Heathers.
I remember reading about this when Charm was coming out. About, I guess he was interviewed too about taking a risk again with Shannon Doherty.
Yeah, that she was a risk.
And,
yeah.
You know, and like working with her again. And he always said that she always had a strong work ethic.
Mm-hmm. You know? I can see that about
and,
her.
And I mean, that's always been kind of like her thing.
So, yeah. Shannon Doherty was only there, though, for the first 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. And this show lasted for 8 seasons.
Right.
So this was supposed to be her comeback, and unfortunately, it wasn't.
No, because of Alyssa Milano.
That sneaky little bitch.
Yeah.
Alyssa Milano plays Phoebe, and Holly Marie Combs plays the middle sister, Piper. And the first 3 seasons, because I feel like it kind of becomes 2 different shows, mm-hmm. somewhat. So the first 3 seasons is Charmed Part 1. With these 3 sisters.
Right.
They lost their mother. They're, you know, fending for themselves. There's a lot of tension, particularly between the eldest and the littlest, especially when the show begins. And then they come across these powers that they didn't even know they had. It kind of gets ignited in them.
Because Phoebe activates them. Once again, ruining everything, Alyssa
Phoebe,
Milano.
I swear.
Yeah, and before the drama, too, it was one of the things that was noticed about them is that they worked well together, mm-hmm. in the beginning. They had, mm-hmm. that kind of like camaraderie with each other as actors.
Yeah.
But you could tell by season 3, you could tell like there's so much drama going on, because I didn't realize this when watching it. But if you look at season 3, a lot of the storylines between Prue and Phoebe are like, they're as far away as it can be.
That's true. You know? They started writing things.
Yeah,
so
it's just like, it's just the writers view is just like, no, we got to keep these 2 girls out.
So the first 3 seasons are about them kind of learning to deal with their magic, coming to terms with trying to lead a normal life and the things that young girls want, a successful business, to go to college.
Young women.
Yes, thank you. Young women want.
The reason I say women is just because
they're not girls.
They're adults at this point in
exactly.
the show.
Shannon's, you know, trying to balance her successful like art curation career. She has a rekindling of a romance with someone, you know, from like her high school sweetheart.
Trudeau, the hot fucking cop.
Inspector Trudeau.
Yeah.
Piper
is a caterer.
Yeah. And then later on, she meets her.
Well,
white
was she a
lighter.
Chef in the beginning?
She was a chef. Yeah,
she starts out as
Morehouse?
No. So her first job as a chef, as like an assistant chef or sous chef, was, mm-hmm. that place. I want to say like it had the theme of like an earthquake.
Oh, Quake. You're right. Quake is the name of the place.
Yeah.
I remember that.
You always make a reference to Quake.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even
they had a sweet up. They had a sweet sign, right? Yeah. It was like the word Quake, but it was like broken in half and like, hey.
Oh, that also makes sense, guys, because the show takes place in San Francisco.
And every episode always begins with like the shittiest B-roll of San Francisco.
Just the bridge, mainly.
It's usually just the Golden Gate Bridge. There's also episodes where it's just like just a montage of just like, this is San Francisco. Just like, why do I need to?
And even gets crazy because sometimes people will meet on top of the Golden Gate Bridge. There'll be scenes, especially like the white lighters. People who could teleport would, mm-hmm. end up teleporting That's on top crazy. Of the Golden Gate Bridge to have conversations.
And also with the most 90s music ever.
For sure.
It's just so crazy. It's 1998 and it's so 90s. So anyhoodle, focusing on the witches, they all activate different powers. Prudence, Prue, she activates the power to, it's telekinesis, right?
She's telekinetic.
Yeah, telekinesis. What's it? So she can move objects with her mind.
Yes.
She is telekinetic.
Oh, yeah. She is. Okay.
Yeah, so, okay. Piper can freeze time.
She, mm-hmm. can stop time.
Stop time.
And her powers will develop eventually where she can, like, also kind of manipulate it to a certain degree. If they get to that point in time, they never get really
That's
to
That's true.
In the show
Initially, they just have these talents, and then Phoebe has the useless talent of just seeing a couple seconds into the future.
That's not a useless talent. She was able to help.
No, not a couple of seconds. She will see events.
She also had the, I mean, she, you know, she helped an old couple, like, win the lottery. Although she kind of also uses numbers for her advantage.
Yes, that's true.
Come on, we'll face them together. Do you remember the spare board? The inscription on the back. The power of 3 will set us free. Come on, we've got to stay together. Power of 3 will set us free. The 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 power of 3 will set us free.
Also, a very important character outside of the three. There's a ton of them. We'll mention them in passing, but I think a big one to mention now is that the witches, in order to guide them through this new life of their, you know, witchery.
Good witchery,
yeah.
Specifically,
aren't bad.
You're talking about Leo.
I'm talking about they have a white lighter. Yes. And a white lighter is someone who is pretty much to help guide them through this and to help save them.
Yeah.
He has the ability to also resurrect and just like
heal.
Teleport and heal and stuff. But and then the middle sister falls in love with him.
But yeah, but specifically the role of the white lighter is to help good witches.
Yes.
They specify that because there are bad witches in this universe.
Yes. So like I said, it was kind of two different shows. And the first show was about sisterhood. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like definitely a dynamic where there's the middle sister who's trying to keep harmony between the big and the little sister. The death of their mother is something that really looms over them.
Yeah, because it was only established, like, it was like months prior to the events of the show, the beginning of it. Yeah.
No. And also it was when they were younger.
No. Their mother, they're in the original, their mom dies when they're little kids and they're raised by their grandmother.
Oh, was it the grandma who died?
Yeah,
the grandmother before. I'm sorry. Okay, I thought it was a mom. Gotcha.
Yeah.
The idea is they really didn't grow up with their mom. Mm-hmm. So that was that looming thing. I mean, they knew their mom, but, you know, she died when they were young. And then also the aspect of having, like, their father wasn't around.
Yeah, so had to raise themselves. So they very much relied on each other. And they had, like, this lack of proper guidance that I also feel like this show is just them learning to be the strongest versions of themselves that they could possibly be. At least in the first three seasons, I felt like. There's this one episode where there's this, like, creature of the Black Lagoon, essentially. And it's the creature that killed their mother. And Prudence, the eldest in particular, is having this weird identity crisis too, where she's like, I feel like I'm the only one that can stop her, but I might end up dead early just like mom died, trying to like save and protect. So there's these moments of existential crises that they have, you know? And that's one of the things that I liked about the early episodes of the show was that it was more about coming to terms with who they were and like learning to be the best versions of themselves by embracing the fact that they are warlocks or witches and finding it too within this like family system. So, I mean, this is my first time watching it, right? So there were a couple episodes that I watched that I was kind of like, eh, but then other ones that I walked away from that I really felt like had strong values to them, like that one.
No, the show, again, rewatching it, the supernatural shows from the WB, like they had kind of a monster of the week element to them, and that was kind of the same thing here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this show, again, upon rewatching it, did a very good job of kind of like organically tying all the sisters' storylines together to this monster of the week. Which I think that's what helps make the show kind of feel like, even rewatching it, like not boring. Like, I was like I said, it's like I actually had very low opinions of the show when we decided to cover the show, right? I was like, ugh, Charmed. And it was obviously, the show was more mature for me than I realized back then, because the show is actually pretty good. The first three seasons, I would agree with you on that, Nicole.
Yes.
But like, the show held up, and it kept my attention. Aside from some of the cheesy 90s effects, they were still solid episodes when they were good.
I think so.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like the show like had a really strong sense of what it was in the beginning. And I read that the creator of the show, Constance and Burge, left only after, or at least took a position down. Like, she demoted herself because she became so frustrated with the fact that this is a show on the WB about three really beautiful, attractive women that are gaining a lot of popularity. So things like their love life start to become more of an importance within the show.
Yeah, like,
and she got Cole, really frustrated by that. Yeah,
Cole and Phoebe, and I was just like, again, ugh. I could not.
But even the whole,
I mean, Julian McMahon is hot, but I don't know. I felt the chemistry between the two of them was just like not really good. Despite the fact that they're both two beautiful people, right? But they were just like not, I don't know, out of sync.
And I will say that as a person who watched it really for the first time right now, I had actually a preference to Prue, kind of like as the matriarch of the family. Her being like 100%, she was like definitely the leader of the pack, if you will.
Of course. The oldest.
The oldest, you know, and like, but like she was just naturally, I think she was the strongest one, you know, like telekinesis is no fucking joke.
I would say out of all the powers, she had the strongest power.
And she, at the end of the day too, was the most interesting one because she had the oldest, she had the biggest chip on her shoulders, you know, and she had like that, the relationship with the boyfriend who, spoiler alert, at the end of season one dies.
I know. Yeah. Talk about like killing off like important characters early on.
Yeah. So it was just like, but then like, that's more interesting too, because of the sacrifices that she has to make for this life, you mm-hmm. know? So she's the one that's going through this existential crisis. It has to carry her family and like has a love that dies in front of her and all this stuff. It's just like, it's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And then they go and kill her off.
They kill her off.
And it's just so bad for the show.
All this, just to add some things here. Wait for that. This show was, I think, one of the shows to staff a licensed demonologist as one of their story editors who, with his history of, you know, writing books on the occult and demons, was able to bring interesting perspective
wow.
to their bad guys.
Oh, that's actually smart because, you know, they go in depth in some of the mythology of these monsters, even in just like in passing, like they don't, you know, in terms of exposition, like when they're doing their research, it's just like this demon does this, blah, 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 blah. And just like yeah. they use like Hecate, for example, was one of the demons that comes to mind when she was like the demon that would come to Earth every 200 years to marry a man to try to create a hellspawn. You know?
Did you know that the Book of Spells was actually like drawn in every single page?
Oh, nice.
One of them kept them or bought it or something. Or she hired the artist who did it to like create something for her because it was such intricate work. I think it was Alyssa Milano I read.
That'd be a cool prop to have too.
That would be so cool. Yeah. So obviously too, like there's three of them.
And
the
big thing
in the show, Book of Shadows, is that what it is?
Book of Shadows.
Yeah. Okay. The big thing in the show is Book of Spells, yeah. Is that they very much need to be three of them. You know, like the yes. bond without one of them won't work. So, right. And that's why the spell is the power of three will set us free. And that's like, they need to chant that, and the power of the three of them doing it is like really important. That's like the big thing on the show.
So, and then when one of them dies, you're just left wondering, it's just like, okay, how the hell does a show about the power of three go on? Enter Rose McGowan.
Season three ends with pretty much the witches getting outed. A news team captures them destroying a monster, Pruin Piper, on the street.
A demon named Shax.
It goes global. It goes 2001 viral. All of San Francisco sees it. You know, people start camping outside of their house, just pretty much as the episode is called, all hell breaks loose. And it ends with Piper dying, her getting shot, dying, and then Prue getting like swarmed by a SWAT team, and Phoebe just in hell with her boyfriend, you know, not seeing any of this. And then they turn back time.
Because of hell and her boyfriend.
Because her just blind dick worship. It's just terrible.
You know what my favorite part about that episode is? Every time Cole sees Phoebe, mm-hmm. he's like instantly, he choked her like three times in that episode.
It's so toxic. That relationship is terrible. Was not a fan of any of that. But yeah, anyway. And then they turn back time just to have it to the moment where the sisters are first, like, they're thrown by mm-hmm. Stax in the house before any of that happens, before they, like, wake up and follow after him, before Leo saves them, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, okay, a sister dies. Which one is it?
Right. That was a mystery and stuff.
Yeah.
And interesting fun fact, apparently Shannon Doherty directed this episode.
She did. Shannon Doherty directed it. So this girl, this poor woman, had no idea she was going to be kicked off the show. She directed it. She did some great acting work, especially after Piper died.
Crazy. Her acting work was
great,
top notch.
And then I guess Alyssa Milano just walked up to the producers and was like, it's either me or her, because I can't stand working with this perfectionist. So that's how Prue dies. You know, I thought I was going to be watching it. Obviously, I knew Shannon would go off, but it really seemed like Piper would be the one that would have like this whole thing, especially because their white lighter, Leo, who's in love with her, and they have this whole inappropriate relationship. Like, there's so much drama there.
It's not inappropriate.
It's so inappropriate.
It's a love that defies all.
Oh, snore.
It's the magical version of interracial marriage.
Interracial, it's forbidden love. Yeah, everybody loves a good forbidden love story, but even then, it's just like, guys, you're supposed to save. Not only it's because of his relationship with the other two sisters, it like puts them at risk. I would feel like,
interesting. Yeah. I
don't. It's like fucking biased to the one sister because you're stipping her. Like,
Okay, that's a fair argument. I would agree.
But anyhoodle, yeah. So I guess Shannon Doherty, she had no idea, and I really felt like I was going to be Piper, but the next episode, episode premiere of season four, she's completely dead. Leo could not revive her, which again, I would call bias on that because he chose to save Piper first and maybe he can only save two of them, and the stronger witch was Prue. I think even the Piper character says you saved the wrong one.
Yeah.
Like Prue should have lived. And that was like a whole thing. And that becomes a big chip on Piper's shoulder for at least season four.
Oh my God. Imagine if the WB fired Piper instead. Aww. And just left Shannon Doherty and Alyssa Milano to duke it out for another fucking year.
They should have let them do that, man. Sometimes Holly people just need to like physically fight shit out.
That's true.
But yeah, but I think Holly Marie Combs was very much also like her role in the show was the same. Like she got along with both of them.
Apparently, yeah, yeah. She was besties with Shannon Doherty prior to the show beginning. Mm-hmm. And apparently since the show has ended, like she is pretty tight with Alyssa Milano. Eddie, yeah. Is that true or false?
I mean, yeah, they were recently on an episode of Grey's Anatomy.
I saw that.
Yeah. So it was Alyssa Milano and Holly Marie Combs.
Yeah.
And they played sisters who had to decide whether they were going to take their sister off of life support.
Wow.
Okay. That was Shannon Doherty.
I don't know. What did you see that episode?
I didn't know. I don't watch Grey's Anatomy.
I would, if we could find a clip of it, we're going to post it on show notes.
Yeah, seriously.
Is the older...
I don't watch Grey's Anatomy, but I had just read the article. I wasn't sure whether it was an older sister that they had to do this or younger sister, but the joke was, don't expect to see Sharon Doherty in this episode.
People hating on Shannon Doherty. Let me just say one thing in her defense. I really feel like because she is a difficult person to work with, but she's also a difficult woman to work with, that it's incredibly unfair that that's become something that defines her career. She has not been able to have a successful career because let's also face it, watching Charmed and watching her in other stuff like Heathers and stuff, she's a great actress.
Yeah, she is very, very good.
And I am sure, I am more than positive that there are men out there who are as difficult, probably even more difficult to work with, and it does not define their careers. It's fucking bullshit. I mean, listen, look at the bullshit that people pulled up with Kevin Spacey for many years until recently because of the new movement that's happening with sexual harassment.
What did they put up with him?
Are you kidding?
I actually don't know.
Read that on your own time. But he was a nightmare to work with.
Oh, but he's also Kevin Spacey.
And he was a predator.
Shannon Doherty is
simply a perfectionist.
I feel like people give you slack when you have awards. I guess if you're a man.
They give you slack when you're a man. Okay? Shannon Doherty is unfair.
I don't know. Like, if you hear the same story a couple of times, you have to give it some salt.
But that's the thing. Like, I've heard so many stories about other people, and look at fucking, like, it took forever for Harvey Weinstein to come falling down, and everyone knew those stories, and it did not define his career. But poor Shannon Doherty can't find work just because she's somewhat difficult to work with.
It's a shame.
Does she sexually abuse people? No. Does she harass people? No. She just wants to maybe do a couple of takes a couple extra times. Oh, she's a nightmare to work with.
It sounds very nightmarish for me. I agree.
Fucking justice for Shannon, okay?
I think it's a shame that her reputation is so attached to her because when I was rewatching the show, she has like the star power that
she does. She carried that show
that you just like could have easily seen. It's just like, oh, she could have been A-list. I think what she actually genuinely needs right now is a career revival.
She does.
And she needs to just like latch on to someone like a Ryan Murphy who can take kind of he has this power where he could take washed up actresses. But, you know, he has this magical ability to take these washed up actresses and kind of put them back on a pedestal. Jessica Lange, Kathy Bates.
Were they really washed up?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say washed up.
They were washed up. No, they were not getting any jobs because of their age and because...
No, they weren't getting interesting and dynamic work. Let's
say
that.
And that's the problem with Hollywood.
Shannon Doherty is simply just not getting work.
Fair. But I also think at the same time, though, Shannon Doherty just needs the right project. Mm. Like I said, like we mentioned earlier, we saw her on Riverdale for that one episode cameo that she did in honor of Luke Perry. And yeah, she was, I mean, obviously she's crying because Luke Perry is dead in real life and this is a very sentimental episode, but she was good. She, you know, obviously she, let's be real, people age, mm-hmm. and she had a bout of cancer that she had to fight. She, isn't looking like the Shandor we know, but like in terms of her voice and her acting, it's still there. And I think that's the other thing that people don't talk about. She has such a unique, sexy voice.
She does. She has a brilliant voice. She's a very attractive person, but at the end of the day, she is a great actress.
Yeah.
I think she was better than the other two sisters. Except when she died and Piper was all upset, she really did do that well.
Yeah, I liked Holly Marie Combs as an actress.
Did you notice how like Phoebe's character was like not that upset? She was like accepting of the death more than Piper was. Piper was a mess. But
I think because Piper now has a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
Plus on top of that, the next episode is just like, surprise, you have a half-sister.
Half-sister. Oh, it's that very same episode. Paige enters. And Paige, played by Rose McGowan, who I really like as an actress and as a person, she becomes very much the little sister. I think she, even though it was kind of like, it was a new dynamic that people had to get used to, I really like what she brought to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she fit in pretty well with like with them. And then Piper becomes the older sister, and now she's, and then she becomes a mom eventually. And all this stuff. So I didn't like the Paige episodes as much just because I was such a Prue fan.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, I really think that the perfect match for them was, well, I mean, probably not the perfect match, but I think Rose McGowan was really good in her role. I actually liked her better than the other two in the couple episodes that I saw.
Oh.
Just because she was still, like, she was young and she was kind of, like, more, like, new. And not only that, but, like, scatterbrained, felt like.
Yeah.
Even as much as Phoebe, I felt like she was more the decisive one. Like, there's this big episode arc where they take Wyatt, Piper and Leo's baby, okay. And then their memories reset. And then they're like, what happened? What's going on? Do you hear a baby crying? And all this shit. And like Phoebe, more than any of them, like, I think this is when she's coming to the terms with her new power of feeling people's emotions, which I'm sure is incredibly heavy. But Phoebe
was empathetic.
Yeah, she became an empath. Yeah,
empath?
A deep empath. Like, she could feel what you're feeling.
Oh.
I feel like the Paige, I saw like her strength as a character, and that we're like, this is what we need to do, and we need to do it now. So like, get your shit together. Like, they didn't want to go about their day to find out what happened because they knew it would be insane. But it was Paige, the young one, who was like, we need to fucking do this.
Interesting.
So I thought that was interesting because even though, like, they also kind of need that guidance now that Prue is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And in her own way, Paige kind of helped them with that. And what I saw, I did not watch a lot of episodes. The full thing.
So. Eddie, you watched most, if not all of it?
Yeah, I was a big fan of the show.
Okay, so what was your... I mean, what did you think of Paige episode seasons?
So it took me a while to get into season 4. Because I was a big fan of the Prue Halliwell character and just felt that she just added this great dynamic to the show. And then when she was gone, it's just like, where are they going to go from there? Where are they going from here? And who's this new sister, this half-sister? And what is it about, what does it mean to be a charm one and needing three? And what did this all of a sudden spare sister come into play? So it took me a while to start. I stopped for a while, then picked it up again. But what I did enjoy, or what I thought was done very well, is how the sisters handled the death of Prue.
Yeah. You know,
and then processing that. Even to see Piper deal with this more verbally, you know, like telling Leo, why did you save me? You should have saved Prue. Prue is a strong one. Prue's the backbone of this family. She's the strongest witch. You know, she should have been the one. And her dealing with her, or not dealing with her anger, led her even to become like a fury, which is like this what is portrayed as a feminine creature of like anger and just like extreme fury. So she ends up becoming this fury thing. And there's a whole process of getting Piper back. And it's this great scene where she's just banging on when she's banging on Prue's tombstone. You know, it's like it's done like a mausoleum. They're like, they have her in a mausoleum, so it's just like the stone and her name, and she's just kind of banging. It's like, you left us, we need you, you left us, why did you go, that kind of thing. And it's her letting her go of all that emotions, that she comes back, you know, and then takes on already? No, excuse me, not Sharon. Sharon Doherty does not come back, unfortunately. But Piper comes back from being a Fury, and it's her like now recognizing that she has to take on this new responsibility of being the older sister, head of this family, and the head of this destiny as a Charmed Ones.
Yeah,
and also being the one that accepts Paige into the family, welcoming her into the family.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wasn't down with the whole myth. Because, you know, you build up this mythology of like the power of three will set you free.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's just like, well, one's dead. So what do you do? Oh, by the way, there was another one. And I guess I couldn't wrap my head around it. I mean, keep in mind, this show was coming out. I was like, in high school and stuff. And like at this point, I wanted to be a screenwriter and stuff. So I just felt like it was cheating. And it was would eventually come to learn the name in TV for this trope is called retconning.
Yeah.
And they retconned the shit out of this show when they introduced Paige. And I don't know. I just like, I guess I couldn't, I myself could not make peace with it. I still can't make peace with it.
These words will travel through the minds of stubborn parties and unbind. The thoughts too rigid to be kind. A compromise they'll disentwine.
How does 6 o'clock on Friday sound?
6 o'clock Friday is
perfect. Well, the one thing that I also noticed from the episodes that I watched with Rose McGowan is that I just didn't feel like the bond of sisterhood was what the show was about anymore. I really felt like it was about all the love affairs that they were having. And they focused more on like their love interests. And it became more soap opera-y when you add that in, you know, which sucks because it's like, oh, three attractive women, you know, let's see all the different boys and love affairs and ooh, will they, won't they? And it's just, I'm not about that. That wasn't as much a thing when Shannon Doherty was present in the show.
It's a CW, a WB, I have to keep, a WB show. And like the WB isn't really known for kind of tackling.
No, yeah.
You know?
Not then at
heavy
least.
Issues here. It's really it's just a very superficial channel. And so even, I think, part of the reason, I guess, why Charm started off so well was also because it kind of did have that slant where it was about sisterhood.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Buffy was straight up about just a badass white girl who can kick demon ass. Right?
Yeah.
So, but for the most part.
Also, Buffy's about the family you make.
Yes. Finding your own family.
Yeah. The Scooby Gang has always been, as they call themselves, Scooby Gang, has been about we're misfits in some way. And we come together and where we have like a purpose.
And then Charm was about a real family.
Well, they're real sisters.
Yeah.
And, you know, the characters are real sisters and stuff.
Yeah, but I guess my argument was just saying, it's just like, if you think of the other WB shows, like they all skewed heavily on romance. Like, unless they were sitcoms, they were just genuinely usually about like romance and stuff. Like, I'm thinking like Felicity, even Roswell was about a love story.
Yeah. It's important. Yeah. With all those love stories, you know, you would think that at least one of the girls would experiment with a woman.
I love it. Oh, tell us more, Nicole. What do you mean about that?
Yeah, why do you want another lesbian witch more so? I mean, we already have Willow from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, so they introduced it during that era, so they very well could have. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, at least one, you know, tends to be bi-curious.
That's true. Four sisters, right?
Yeah, four sisters.
Four sisters.
Yeah, not one of them experimenting.
One of them should have, like, at least been bi.
Seriously.
Who do you think would have been the bi one? I think Rose McGowan's character.
I think so, too.
Yeah, Paige.
Well, that's also because we know Rose McGowan.
That's also true. That's why she would have been down.
Yeah. Yeah, this is true. I would have loved to have seen it with Prue, but whatever.
I could see Prue as a close second.
Yeah. Any hoodle, you know, with the new Charmed, we don't have to imagine it, we get to see it.
That's right.
A lot of new things
20 years later.
Gets her lesbian exact 20 witch. Yeah, I do. And I get one I could resonate with more because she is also a Latina in the new 2018 CW's Charmed reboot.
Charmed.
Interestingly enough, a lot of people had opinions about this before it came out. The CW announced in January of 2018 that October they'd be debuting it. And immediately people took to Twitter. And they were just like hashtagged stopped Charmed reboot. People were not about it. And you know who was very much not about it?
I want to say Holly Marie Combs.
Holly Marie Combs.
And well, Alyssa Milano also.
Alyssa Milano, I think the most upset was Holly Marie. She's like, you know, like, you guys didn't have any input with the cast and crew of the original, you know, and you're moving forward without us. That's not cool. Like, why are you calling it Charmed? Call it something else. She had a lot of issues with that.
An argument that I have made many times on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're just using the name, but why even bother? Just go wholly original. Okay.
Which is interesting. But I think in this case, it very much needs that, especially because of the Power of Three element, but whatever. Alyssa was like, yeah, she agreed with the fact that, like, why didn't you kind of input, like, come to us even for a consultation? Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't do any of that. So, but Alyssa was more like, well, I hope it's good. Shannon was more positive about it. You know, she was just like, I'm intrigued by the idea. I'd like to see where they go. And Rosa McGowan was also positive about it, where she was like, fly, girls, fly.
Mm-hmm.
But Holly was not. And her her first... one of the big tweets that she made, a sarcastic tweet about the fact that the CW announced that it would be more feminist. Holly Marie said, guess we forgot to do that the first go around. So like now it's like, is it pandering or are they being like true that they're going to put that more at the, I think it's slightly pandering.
I think it's not pandering as much as capitalization.
And of course, yeah.
It's like, capitalization on the era that we're in.
It's a good word to use.
Yeah.
Is it pandering? Is it capitalization? Who knows? So the show though, let's talk about the show. It was developed by three women, all who have had a lot of experience with women shows.
Yes.
Some of them wrote for Jane the Virgin, The Carrie Diaries, all this stuff. So.
Oh, Carrie Diaries. Oh, I never saw that.
Yeah, I never saw that either. But the first season showrunner was a man who has since been replaced by a duo, a married duo, Craig Shapiro and Liz Cougar. And the first showrunner was Carter Covington, but still overall.
Craig Shapiro,
yeah. Constance M. Burge, not involved. And if you were wondering if she's dead or not, no, she's still very much alive.
I was very much wondering that.
But she's just not involved. I think she's over the show and like what they're trying to do to it. But they decided to have this show be about three Latina sisters. And the sisters are Macy, Mel, and Maggie. Macy, who is played by Madeline Mantock, is the oldest. She is a scientist, and she did not know her sisters until the first episode. So she was kind of like the long-lost one.
She's also Afro-Caribbean.
An Afro-Caribbean, yes.
Mm. Which and is like very rarely depicted. An Afro-Latina.
You are true, right about that, yeah. Mel and Maggie, they live together with their mother. And Mel is a graduate student, and she is also the more liberal, more outspoken feminist one, and what a surprise they make her the lesbian.
Which do you think is that stereotyping?
I think so. Oh, yeah. I would have loved to have seen either Macy or Maggie as a lesbian.
It's definitely an easy route to take.
It is.
Yeah.
And then Maggie is the youngest and all she wants is to be in her local sorority and her undergraduate school.
That's true. Those are her aspirations.
That it's is just her like, aspirations.
I don't want to graduate. I want to be in this sorority.
Yeah.
To hang out with like majority white people.
Stop, yeah, pretty much.
Stop.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? She wants to assimilate. I get it.
Stop. Not true.
But yeah, so they're noticeably younger this time around. There are two of them are in college.
Well, grad school and then one is in undergrad.
And in the pilot, their mother is alive.
Yes. So the pilot, the mom is alive. She is attacked by some malevolent forces as the daughters are about to leave for the day and the daughters stumble upon her dead body. And flash forward several months later where Mel is kind of on this campaign to oust the return of a professor who has been accused of sexual assault. And she actually believes that her mom's death is connected to this case because it seemed, you know, her mom was about to testify against the guy. So it was just like a complicated Me Too mess going on that campus. Right. Meanwhile, the youngest sister, the way she's processing her mother's death is through kind of just like almost pretending like it just happened so long ago that she doesn't want to think about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, around this time, the oldest sister, Macy, she comes across the house and kind of gets like a feeling that like there's something about this house, and she realizes, oh my god, this is the house I was born in, from the one link that she has to her mother. So she ends up finding out that, like, she has two sisters and stuff. And initially, Mel doesn't, you know, welcome her with open arms, right? She's actually very hostile and suspicious because it's like, are you here? What are you here for? Money? Like, what do you want? What's your story here?
Yeah.
And they eventually all get kidnapped by a white man, tied up and brought to an attic. And this white man reveals himself to be Harry, who is their white lighter. And he's explaining to them, it's just like, hey, you guys are witches, bitches. And I think at this point, this is where the show also diverges a little, Eddie, right? From the main series, right? Is this where
it definitely does.
They get given, I mean, yeah, obviously, there's many diversions. Yes. But like the other thing is just like they're given a choice if they want to be witches or not.
Either accept your destiny or go back to your normal lives.
Right, but you said all magical intervention reverses if we refuse.
You won't remember any of this, including meeting each other.
You know I'm in. I want to know you guys. And figure out this whole witchcraft thing on a molecular level and get a freaking Nobel Prize. So yeah, me too. Maggie! Okay, fine, I'm in!
Hurry, you have to join hands.
Yeah. So you have the introduction of the white lighter early on in the show, the first episode, who ends up explaining everything, you know, to them. This is your destiny. Your mom was a witch. This is a prophecy I have foretold that three powerful witches would come together during these times. This is way different from how it was for the Hallowell sisters. In the original series, where they had to kind of figure things out in the beginning, like they would find things and like the spirit board or this book of shadows, and they have spells in it. But the white lighter, their white lighter Leo doesn't come until later on. And also he doesn't reveal who he is until later on too from there. So it's so now they're coming into this situation where their white lighter is like, okay, this is what's going on. And also you have a choice. Yeah. At, from the moment you know that you are witches, you have, I think, a 24-hour window to decide whether you want to continue with this. Mm-hmm. Stay witches. If you decide not to, you lose your powers. You also lose all the magical interventions that that were placed to actually gather you together.
Right.
Which means that Macy... Macy would not find them, or they wouldn't know about Macy.
Right.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, they do take on their destiny.
Yeah, we're
and,
be the show.
Go on to become
the charmed ones.
Yes.
And from there, the story kind of progresses into these sisters kind of figuring out their powers, figuring out who they are too, because they are younger than the original cast. So as a result, they're trying to, there's a lot of self-discovery that they're making, because keep in mind, like when you, even when I was in grad school, and I was a little older in grad school than most grad school students, I'm still figuring out who I am, who I want to be, you know, most certainly at 18 years old, like trying to fit into in my case, a fraternity, right?
Yeah.
Like I understand that. So I can only imagine what it's like to juggle that self-discovery with also juggling like magical abilities. And I think one of the characters that I think they did a really wonderful job with that is Mel's character.
Yeah.
And you know, she is at the beginning of the series in a very real relationship with another woman, Nico, who I love. I love her short hair. Mm-hmm. I love her suits. She has a look that I'm down with, right? But one of the things I loved about Nico and like Mel's relationship was like it kind of felt very realistic. Mm-hmm. It wasn't hypersexualized, but it wasn't at the same time, it wasn't like kind of whitewashed either.
Yeah.
And as a result, I think, and they also had like the relationship had flaws. Like they were constantly, not constantly fighting, but they would fight. Mm-hmm. And the fights felt like they came from a genuine place. Like it comes from Mel's sorrow right now that her mom is gone.
Yes.
And it comes from, you know, Nico
being young.
Yeah, like, you know, it's just like I get it. And as a result, like I felt like it was a very realized relationship. And it's Mel who I think in the series would make the biggest sacrifice, because like through magic, she realizes that like Nico is getting in harm's way. Mm-hmm. So she casts a spell to kind of erase Nico's memories of her, and like the relationship never existed.
Sad.
And it's tragic because it's just like, you know, that's like what a sacrifice to make for the one you love.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think the other one, I mean, they all will have to make their own sacrifices and stuff, but like, I think that was like, I think one of the more poignant storylines for me.
Yeah. And I really like that too, because I feel like sacrifice is a really big part of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And just, and life in general, you have to, in order to like, so the tragedy was like immediate in the show and just like recurring. And the show's different. I mean, this is also because of streaming culture too. The show's different where we have an overlying arc for the entire series, for the entire first season at least.
Yes.
The original Charmed, like it was more popular back in the day. It was episodic, you know, Monster of the Week, like mm-hmm. we said earlier. But that's just very different this time. So that also builds up more of getting to know each other. As they get to know each other, we get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with their white liar being introduced so early and like having a different relationship from the original, where he just kind of comes halfway through and then all of a sudden after a couple episodes, it's like, hey, I'm your white lighter.
I have these magical abilities.
Yes.
Let's make love, Piper.
Yeah, let's engage in inappropriate behavior.
I'm shaking my head, everyone.
Do you think his penis shines?
Stop.
Stop. Any hoodle. But I will say, I mean,
white lighter,
you asked for it.
I do.
You asked for it.
I didn't watch, having said all of that positive stuff about it, I didn't watch too much of The Charmed.
How much of it did you watch?
I felt it was a little campy. I think I watched 4 episodes.
Oh, okay.
Which is more than enough.
Okay.
Like, I found out about the sorority sister that woke up and that demon was possessing her and all that stuff.
That's a Halloween episode, right?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Which is, but honestly, I think at that point is where the show kind of does pick up a little.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. So then you can probably tell your opinion about this, but watching the first couple episodes, I liked the whole, like, they were younger and that they had a lot of maturing to do in their dynamic. Enjoyed it. I didn't feel like it was, other than the fact that I was looking at a character that I resonated with in terms of the way they looked, I didn't feel any sort of connection to the fact that there was a Latina family.
Oh, interesting that you should say that.
I felt like maybe they played on that a little later, but like there was nothing that was, man, like, oh, wow, I love seeing this. This is resonating.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel more feminist to me.
Okay.
So there were things that the show said that was like, this is why it's different and you should watch it. That I didn't get from the first couple episodes that I watched. And it didn't make me want to watch more.
I think those are fair arguments.
Mm-hmm.
I do. So we did One Day at a Time. And
yes.
Guys, check out that episode. It's one of my favorite episodes. But when we did One Day at a Time, we noticed how heavily they kind of ran into it. It felt authentic.
Yes.
Right?
Very much.
Here in this Charmed, it's just like there is like an element. It's not. It doesn't feel as authentic as the writers did with introducing like Spanish elements, Hispanic elements, in One Day at a Time. Here, I'm not saying that it felt forced, but like when they sneak them in, they sneak them in almost to kind of reinforce the fact that they are Latino.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, though, I think some of the things they did nail down right, specifically their Christmas episode. I was very much impressed by the Christmas episode meal and like kind of, you know, Harry got drunk for the first time off of Coquito.
Yeah.
And like he just got hammered. I'm just like, you know what? That's what
Can
happens.
You explain what Coquito is?
Oh, so the people who don't know who Coquito is. Coquito is a Caribbean drink. I think mostly Puerto Rican, but yeah. It is Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And Coquito is like eggnog, but it's instead of just egg, it's we focus on cocoa.
Yeah.
Coconut. It's usually
depending
it's
on
usually white rum.
Mm.
My grandma taught me to use Bacardi 151. There was like, I think, an authentic moment of like when a white person first experiences Coquito and you realize like, ugh, why have I been drinking eggnog my whole life?
Yeah.
So delicious. But
they keep on drinking it. And
yeah.
And yeah.
As has been the case when I've introduced Coquito to my friends. But not just even the Coquito, right? It was also their meals that they cook. Sometimes
Is there a full pork on the table?
Of course.
A full pig? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wasn't it pernil also? They had pernil.
Oh,
I think they were making, I could be mistaken, but they were like, they had like tostones and stuff. Like, so they have like little elements that they try. I think the writers are genuinely trying to make an effort to kind of make these women like proud of their heritage and stuff. Despite the fact that they're living in this like beautiful mansion in Michigan, which I don't think feels authentically.
We don't know what it's like Latino. To live in Michigan. I mean, look, I don't need them to like scream it every 2 seconds in my face. But at the same time, from the episodes that I saw, like there just wasn't enough of like the mirror reflection that I was hoping I would see in it. And that's my main qualm, and the reason why I even say that is too, is that I just thought it was a ploy that the producers used in order for like this new like era that we're in, for them to get more viewers and for people to be more on board. Like, I think that it's nice, all the elements that I saw, and I enjoyed it, but at the end of the day, it doesn't give me anything new that the from what I got from the original, other than the fact that these ladies are just like not white.
I don't think I disagree with you, to be totally honest.
Yeah, like, because they it almost seemed like they were promising like this new and reimagined version that like would fulfill certain things more, like be something
interesting. That was a marketing mistake on that.
Yeah,
part.
and then it's just like, usually there's something we should get from this.
I really, there was a different look. Yeah. They were, you know, it was a women of color, that there is a more diverse cast being portrayed here. So there is these slight elements of what it is to be Latina, or what ends up coming up too is Afro-Caribbean too. When we later find out that Maggie. Macy, doing some genetic testing, finds out that her and Maggie are actually whole sisters.
Oh yeah, that's a twist.
Yeah,
that's the twist. It turns out that they share their father, the same father.
Mel is a half sister.
So Maggie did not know that. Here she was thinking that this man was her dad, and all of a sudden it's not the case. And then, so the question is, what does it mean to also be black?
Well, Latinx people have a very complicated relationship with black identity as it is. Like, in specifically, I just happen to know, like, this is, I guess it's more like anecdotal to like where I grew up, but like there is a hierarchy basically of like, if you are, the darker you are, like the lower you fall on that like Hispanic totem pole.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there is a very ethnocentric European model that they use for what is like beauty and what is what is almost like real Latino, which is why I was happy though that they kind of chose to go with an Afro Latina in this thing, despite the fact that, guys, she's not actually Latina, the actress.
Yeah,
Is she British? She was British. I think when was she speaking like with an accent?
Macy's the actor.
She could be British.
She's British, but she's also
She's African.
She's African.
Okay. But not Latina.
Latina. She's not Latina.
I'm not going to fault them for that. Like, they got cast.
No,
for the
there's
job,
no reason to.
It's whatever.
The actresses, I think they do a good job, like, actually kind of portraying these characters and stuff. I'm still going to agree a little bit with Nicole. It's just like, and I guess this is kind of starting to answer the question. It's like, is this a remake? Or I guess a reboot? What are we classifying this?
A reboot.
Mm-hmm. Is this a reboot that we necessarily needed? Nicole?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, well, as a person who's just like not a fan, can give or take this material. And that there's a lot of things that I really wish that I got from any version of this show. More about this bonds of sisterhood and more exploring like what it is to be proper witches, because like the first show went off into like this weird monster of the week program that just didn't feel realistic at all, and granted, I don't necessarily want realism, but like, if you're gonna preach to be something about witches, I would want to see something that I more closely resonate with witches and witchcraft.
Are you saying that you take issue with the way witches are represented?
Yeah, I feel like they're not, they're like more like wizards.
Oh.
And it's, like, more fantastical.
What's the difference?
There's a big difference.
Is there?
In real life, witchcraft, it has to do with, like... I mean, a lot of it, whether or not you're God-based, it has to do with demons and with and saints and with angels and whatever. Like, it's more religion-based. Right. And it's more, like, souls-based. Whereas this one becomes Monster of the Week.
Right.
And that's completely different.
In real life.
So. I know. So, as a non-believer...
So, as a non-believer, I feel like this... I feel like that depiction.
But even you don't need to. You don't need to believe in God in order to know the difference.
You don't. I don't know.
It's like, just simple.
Like, what's the difference between that and like the new Sabrina the Teenager? I think they. I don't know. I feel like every witchcraft portrayal has always kind of been more or less the same. we give an incantation.
Well, if you revisit our Sabrina episode too, that kind of also bordered into a more like satanic route where witches are Satan worshippers.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I'd like to see for once fucking, that's the thing. You don't even know what they are. Like,
I feel like the good witches, like the fun witches are Satan worshippers.
But I also like, there's just a couple things. Like, I wish it was more, you know, sister based and whatever. Like, I guess.
Oh, the new one.
No, just in general, of them. I mean, the new one was okay from what I saw. I didn't have any main issues with it, but it wasn't something that I was like, oh, wow, this is refreshing.
I see.
You know, so it wasn't, and just in general, like, I guess any package of this, I don't necessarily need, and nor does it speak for anything that I think is needed in our society today, mm-hmm. especially with the fact that, like, people aren't really watching, and I don't even know if people know about this, you know, or care about it.
I mean, it got a season two. It has a season two.
It seems like most of their fan base is younger than 18.
That makes sense. I mean, I guess the CW skews younger in their demographics.
Yeah, still. Which is kind of important, too, because I'm glad that at least the young kids are getting this kind of representation.
Yeah, I mean, especially considering like how much of the... I'm not accusing the CW here of like kind of just having only white people shows only, because that's not at all the case. I think actually... In terms of like what I've seen the CW kind of program, I think they actually do have a very wide range of like cast. I would still argue though that predominantly their shows tend to skew white. They're more popular ones at least. And again, that's not
that's not really
I don't fault against the network, because if I compare them to like some of the other networks, they do at least try to take some steps. I mean, look at the Batwoman. That's like a lesbian run. Like, that's a lesbian in the lead as a main character, right? Yeah. Oh, she's white. Oh, well. But, you know, that happens to be the way the comic books were written. And they haven't, like, decided to diverge that much from it. But I think for kind of giving us Charmed, but with, like, some Latina flair and stuff, and, like, knowing who their target demographics are, I kind of am leaning towards, like, yes, this reboot was needed. Do I wish the actresses here had the same acting abilities as like my Shannon Doherty, my actually Holly Marie Combs, and Phoebe, Alyssa Milano? Yes,
and Rose McGowan.
I kind of do.
They were just very good.
Rose McGowan.
And wow, I feel it's needed. I am dying for shows that have representation.
Mm-hmm.
I am where their leads are people that look close to me, or look like my family, or hint to things that I understand. Also, I'm happy to see representation in the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I'll give you that.
I want all those things handles, too. You know. But that's the thing, I guess. Of course, you know, and then I get that show in the form of witches. I mean, like, can I get that in more sitcoms? Can I get that in more, like, you know, college friend shows? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like...
Are there many college friend shows?
Yeah, there are. Like... Can I get another one of those shows about, like, you know how, like, people are obsessed with, like, men with power? And, like, can we get less of those? And, like, how about, like, you know, like, a nice, like, Latina woman with power? And, like, seeing one of those, like, anti-heroes on screen? I'd love that. Yeah, I don't know.
Something like that. Wait a minute. What is like... that?
Vita.
Yeah, like I have Pose, you know, I want more shows like that, I guess. Uh-huh. But I will say, in regards to what Holly Marie Combs tweeted about when she said, I guess we didn't do that the first time around, like she sarcastically did that. I mean, they did do that the first time around, but this show 100% was more conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it was maybe trying a little too hard to be like, hey, guys, like I felt like it's borderline. Like you said, it was capitalizing. I think it's borderline pandering.
I could see that.
The fact that it's like they're queer, one of us is queer and they're Latino witches this time. Hey, watch us, you know? Like,
I guess the reason I think it's more about capitalization is more like the writing in the show itself doesn't feel like it tries to pander.
No, because yeah,
the show itself doesn't pander to me. It was the marketing of the
show.
It
was definitely
the marketing.
It was what and I will blame the marketing for the fact that like you promised to be something and now I kind of see right through you.
And then when you watch the show itself, it's like it's not delivering on what it promised, but like it is delivering something that's just like, okay.
It's cute.
I get it.
Still don't, I personally didn't need it.
Okay, I got you. I feel you. I get you.
Should we do a lightning round?
All right, let's do this.
Lightning round.
It would have to be Macy versus Prue.
I would agree to that.
That's not fair. It's not a fair fight.
I mean, it's not a fair fight because, let's be honest, Prue's the winner.
Prue's the best.
Or is it Macy versus Prue versus Paige?
No, because Paige is the youngest.
Yeah, Paige is the youngest, but like Paige is also like...
The half-sister, the secret. Yeah.
Like Paige comes in to replace Prue.
Oh, this is so difficult. Yeah. But then Paige could also be like Maggie.
Let's just stay Macy in.
Macy and Prue. Shannon's already versus Prue. I'm going to go with Prue.
Prue all the way. Justice for Shannon.
Prue.
Shannon, we love you.
That's a messed up thing to judge. All right. If you're going to put Macy versus
What do? We do, Paige, this all the time.
Rose McGowan. No, the only reason is because like they take element from both.
Yeah, they do. Macy versus Rose McGowan. That's a little Paige. Tough. Yeah, Paige.
I might go with
Paige. Not like the actress. I might go with Macy.
I would go with Macy on that one too.
And also, Macy adds this interesting... She's a scientist, and she's approaching this magic experience as a scientist.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even get to mention... You're right. That I love that about this character, right? Like, she is... As a scientist, right? Like, how she is analytical and stuff. And then magic just conflicts with that. It's like when you hear that joke about can a religious person be a doctor or a scientist? Because does your belief in God interfere with what your results would be and stuff?
Yeah,
so that kind of stuff. And I think her character handles that wonderfully because like she is always trying to like make sense of what is the hot mess that is magic.
True.
Yeah.
Mel versus Piper.
Ooh, okay, that's a good. I'm gonna go with actually Mel.
I'm going to go with Mel, too. I think, Piper, after a while, just got so dry and would just stand there and talk in a monotone voice and was just, like, so, like, dead. Whereas Mel's all over the place.
Mel is all over the place.
She's a hot mess. And that is the way I respond to her. Like, they kind of make her a stereotype and all this stuff. And I'm like, of course, you make that character the lesbian. But she is emotional. Mm-hmm. And she's just kind of like, yeah, she's, like, in that sense, she's really
She also owns... Raw. I think any scene that she ends, she really owns. She dominates.
She's a good actress, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting when you're battling CGI monsters and demons, you know?
Yeah.
She can hold her own.
And then I guess with Maggie versus Phoebe, although Maggie's ability is more she can hear people's thoughts.
Yeah, she's an empath.
Whereas Phoebe would see the future.
But she would eventually develop empathic powers.
Yeah, she eventually, because they realize how
And also, as I'm watching season 2 of the show, Maggie's developing what's called foresight.
So she's getting
images. She's getting little slits of the future.
Okay, so they're definitely a fair comparison. Who do you guys prefer?
I would have to go with Maggie. I'm not a big Phoebe fan.
Oh, actually, I think Phoebe would be. I would prefer Phoebe. What do you think, Eddie?
I actually like Phoebe.
Yeah, Phoebe. All right.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Now
Paige versus Maggie.
Oh, because they're youngest?
Yeah.
I still would go Maggie.
I might go Paige.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting.
I would go Paige.
Interesting. Macy wins out when we're comparing her to Paige, mm-hmm. but Maggie loses when we're comparing her to Paige.
Yeah, because there is something very unique about Paige, the half white lighter ability, mm-hmm. and then the being like the youngest, the odd one out, but then like really rising to the occasion and being strong on her own way and finding her own way. Like, I got to give her love there.
Hmm. I see.
Whereas Maggie is charming in her, like just wants what Bubbly every way. Young college
yeah.
kid wants. But
Harry versus Leo.
Harry.
I'm going with Harry as well. I hated Leo so
Fuck
much.
Fuck Leo.
I hated Leo.
Fuck Leo.
I'm sorry, guys. I love Leo.
Leo.
I love
Leo. Wrong. All right. And then the other
Leo's
comparison.
Leo's my white lighter.
The other big comparison, right? Comparing the Hallowell house. Versus the Vega Vaughn house. Which house? Nicole, first. Even in the first four episodes, you should have seen, like, the house has, like...
I guess the new house.
Yeah. You went with the new house?
I would rather live there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I actually am going to go... Well, I'd rather live in San Francisco, to be totally honest.
Really?
Yeah.
But think about how much you'll have to pay.
They did have a mortgage on it. They had actually two mortgages.
They had two mortgages?
It's San Francisco.
That's bad management on their part.
Yeah, something like that on it. Because that's how they got the money for Piper's club, P3. That of course, like, that house is passed down generation. It is a character on the show. It's where a lot of battles happen. There's a lot of
history,
but as well as destruction that takes place in the house.
I guess if they had all the mortgages,
you know, hell of a house. So that being said, what I do love about the Vega Vaughn house, which is also has the same element, is the first season, there's always a new room that you're discovering in this house. I don't know how big this house is, but it's like they walk in into a space and this is a whole new room that we didn't see before. They press a book and all of a sudden there's a hole downstairs that they didn't know about. And then they discover at some point that there's like a magical cave underneath the foundation of the house too. Wow. And it's like, how big is this house? I love it.
Yeah, I would go with the Vega Vaughn house too as well, only because just like, oh, I could like redecorate all these rooms. Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious. Okay.
Cool. Well,
that's that on Charmed. Do you feel like we have set ourselves free? The three of us?
The power of three, yeah. Well, yes.
Have we been set free?
I hope so.
I hope so too.
Third time's a charm.
That's yeah, what third I say. Time's a charm, because this is the third time trying to record this.
Just don't drop it.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Yeah.
Be sure to, you know, leave us ratings on like your said. Podcast apps. They help us out.
They really
do. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. We know we have some new listeners out there. So please check, you know, be sure to let us know what you think. Also, be sure to reach out to us via email. What's our email, Nicole?
Yeah, if you wish to give us your opinion, email us at remakesrebootsandrevivals@gmail.com or hit us up on Instagram at remakesrebootsandrevivals.
You can also find us on Facebook, Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals. And we're also on Twitter, which is sometimes active, sometimes not.
Not really.
More so lately.
Yeah.
Remakes podcast. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Well then, guys, it was a pleasure. And until next time,
stay original.